Okay, we're starting here from the Mishnah in the beginning of the new parak on Yotet Amud Bet. The Mishnah says, "Lokeach beima min oifid koch avim." Someone who purchases beima from a non-Jew, v'eni yodei bichraim lo bichrai, doesn't know if this animal has yet given birth or not, which will determine if the future births are a bechor. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, eiz bachnata v'daya the kohen. If you bought a goat within its first year of life, then for sure the firstborn, if it's a zachar of this goat, is for sure the Kohen, because he bought it before it was really possible that it would have given birth. Mikan ve'elech, from that point forward, it's a safek, because we really don't know. Rachel bachtaim, a ewe, we say the same thing for 2 years. Therefore, we assume if you bought it within its first 2 years, that the child or the fetus is for sure a peter rechem. So vada the Kohen, mikan ve'elech, from there going forward, safek. Para v'chamor, the larger animals, the cow and the donkey for peter chamor, both of those, benot shalosh. Up to 3 years, we assume they have yet to give birth, and therefore the firstborn will be a vadai l'kohen if it's a zechar. Mikan v'elech, from that point forward, safek, it's a question mark, because we just don't know.
The basic principle being that if an ewe gives birth in its first year, or a ewe gives birth in its first 2 years, or a cow gives birth in the first 3 years, and the same with a chamor, that must be its firstborn. We don't assume that it had multiple births in that period of time. The ewe, it's its first birth. We don't assume it gave birth already. Now this is its second birth within the first year of its life. That's true in 2 years by the ewe, and that's true by 3 years by the cow.
So Amar Rabbi Akiva, ilu bevlad bilvad habeima nifteret. If with a vlad alone that was true, what you're saying is true, meaning that you only don't have a firstborn if you've had a child previous to this, then you kiyadvarecha. Then what you're saying is correct. Ela amru, we know the Chazal says siman havlad bibehema daka tinuf, that there are other things that indicate that there was a birth. For instance, tinuf. If there's some sort of discharge from the womb, we assume that's an indication or evidence of the fact that there was a pregnancy. Uvigaso, in larger animals, shilia, the placenta, or the afterbirth, is an indication of the fact that there was some sort of live fetus here. Uvibisha, and by a woman, shfir vishilia. It's both the fetal sac as well as the placenta or afterbirth. Those are indications of a birth. Zeaklal. So now Rabbi Kiva lays out the principle. Koshi adua shebichra inkan lekoin klum. If you know for sure gave birth already, kohen gets nothing. If you know for certain it didn't give birth, then it goes to the Kohen. If it's a safek, then the balim eat it. He keeps the animal. And the mum, then no iser left with it, and the balim can eat it with the din of a bechor bal mum. So that's the shita of Rabbi Akiva. Just interesting to see Rabbi Akiva appear. We saw him in the last parak arguing with Rabbi Tarfon. Over here we see him arguing in this Mishnah. I'm just wondering out loud about Rabbi Akiva himself, because prior to becoming a Talmud Chacham, Rabbi Akiva was a Ro'eh. He was a shepherd. And so I'm wondering if he has a lot to say here. He's involved in the Machlokot here in Bechorot, because he had a lot of background in this area. All right, Mikan Ve'elech. What's the din, Mikan Ve'elech? We said it is a Safek. Why is it a Safek? Amai Safek, Alech Acharo Be'emot. Let's use the rove, the majority, to determine here. Most animals will have one birth within their first year of life. And therefore, if you purchase the animal, then we said, if it's purchased animal, its first year of life, you say that the firstborn is the one that you have. And then if you buy it afterwards, we say it's a safek. Why is it a safek? Just say that majority of animals have given birth already. Therefore, what you're buying, it's not a safek. It's a vadai that has given birth, and whatever you have now is not a bechor. So, lema Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Meir, Sfile. It must be that Rabbi Shmuel holds like Rabbi Meir, the chayish lemiyuto. Rabbi Meir is the sheet that we see over Shas that says that he's choshish for the miyut. He doesn't go after the rove. He worries about cases of miyut. So, Gemara says, afilu teimer rabbonon, let's say we're not choshish for the miyut. When do we go after the robe? Beruva the itala kaman. A robe that's in front of us. A robe that is apparent. We know everything about it. Kigom, an example of that is Tesha Chaniot v'Sanhedrin. Case, classic case, which is you have 9 butcher shops in town that are kosher, 1 butcher shop that's not kosher. You find a piece of meat out on the street. You can assume that piece of meat came from a kosher butcher shop, because 9 out of the 10 our kosher, that's a robe, the itala kaman. It's all contained within our city here. It's all contained, something that we can assess. All the information's here. Sanhedrin. Again, a case where they're voting. Rashi says here, you have 12 mizakim, you have 11 that are say chayav. 12 say that he's okay, 11 say that he's problematic. We go after the robe. Again, we've discussed this in other places, that even though we might paskin in hochim acharov b'mamon, nevertheless, by Sanhedrin, it might be different. There's a Tosfos in the beginning of Sanhedrin. We discussed there is a Rav Chaim and the Rambam discusses why this robe is different. But Ruba Deleita Lekaman, our case is a robe that's not in front of us, because our robe is not determined by the animal sitting in front of you. It's determined by worldwide animals don't give birth in this time period. Something that's outside the realm of a perspective or a closed area. It's got to do with the nature of things worldwide. What do animals do? So Azli Banabat's a roof over there. Maybe they don't go after the rove. Is that really true? Vakatan Viktana. The Ruba Deleita Kaman. We have a case of Katan Viktana, which is again about the worldwide statistics, about something that happens in nature, because the Rabbanan but the Ruba, and nevertheless the Rabbanan, they're subscribed to rove. It's not. I have a Mishnah in Yivamot. You'll see here on the side it says Tanyo. It's a Breita. I'll read it the way we have it. Tosfot has some problems with the Breita, which is Ktan Viktana, Lo Chotzim Velo Miyabimim. They do not do Chalitza, and they do not do Yibum Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir the Shita To'o, that were Choshish the Miyut. Amrulo Yafa Marta Shein Chotzin. You're right about the fact that they don't do Chalitza Ish Ktiba Parsha. It says Ish in the Parsha. Oh, Makshin and Ish Ali Ish. And a woman is like a man. So therefore, chalitza does not work for a man, doesn't work for a woman, because they're not of age. You can't perform the act of chalitza. Chalitza requires you to be of age. Why can't they do yibum? What's the problem with yibum? Either yibum might work, even if you are below age, and if it doesn't work, you continue to be together until the point where it does work, where they reach of age, and then it'll be fine. What's the problem with performing yibum in this case? So Amar Lahem, Rabbi Meir says back to them, Katan Shema Yimatse Saris. Maybe he'll be found to be impotent. Tana Shema Timatse Ailonit. That she's incapable of bearing children. Vinim Tseupog Imbe Erva. And then they would be a problem of Erva, because you're only allowed to perform yibum if one can produce a child that would be named after the Ach, Hashem Achiv. If not, then it's a problem of Eshet Ach, which is an Erva Min HaTorah. So why we're not Choshesh, we don't know. We can't, with these Ketanim, we can't yet know whether it'll be impotent or whether they can't bear children. So if that's the case, we want to wait and see and check it out. Rabbanon, Zil Batar, Rov Ketanim. Go after the Rov of Ketanim in the world. Rov Ketanim, Lav Sarisim Ninu. Majority of Ketanim, we don't have this problem. Zil Batar, Ruba, the Ketanot. Rov Ketanot, Lav Ayelanut Ninu. And the Rov of Ketanot in the world are able to bear children. So we see here, this is talking about something that's in Teva, something that is worldwide statistic that we're looking at. And we see the Chachamim go after the Rove, they follow the Rove, and Rabbi Meir, Kishitato, subscribes to the Miyut. The only thing to point out here is that Tosfot spent some time on pointing out that he's not sure about the Chalitza aspect of this. He says, in terms of Chalitza, it's true that a Katan, a young male, cannot perform Chalitza. It's unclear whether that is true by a woman as well. If you look in the Tosfos, Ish Ketav Rachman, he says, Mashmud al Chalitzat Ketana Psula Midoraita Kamo Katan. It's a problem in the Torah. Tosfos brings a Yushalmi as well. There are other proofs that he thinks that is not the case. And therefore, he says that you can see that by the fact that they did not mix them together. The fact that the Mishnah, or the Breita, depending on what you quote over here, does not mix the issue of Chalitza with other issues that are mentioned in the Mishnah shows you that they think it's different. There's Cheresh and Chereshet, Katan, there are other issues in the Mishnah. The fact that it's separated out, this issue of Chalitza, he says, is indicative that it might be only a Din Derabanan. And that what we're saying here, that a woman is like a man, is just a Asmachta Bi'amo, and a Din Derabanan. But Midoraita, a woman could have Chalitza performed with her, even if she was a Ketana. So that's just a little important point that Tosfot makes about the Breita that we just quoted. So El Amar Rava, Rava says, Micha Barta, must be, Rabbi Shmuel, ke Rabbi Meir, Svirle, Rabbi Shmuel holds like Rabbi Meir, de Chayish le Miuto. He's Choshesh for the Miut, because here, even though it's a Ruba, the Letek, the Kaman, it's a Ruba that's not in front of us, it's not something that is determined by the confines of where one lives or a small area defined here. It's about statistics. It's about statistics in the world, statistics in Teva. And we see the Chachamim still subscribe to Ruba, so that would be the same thing over here. They should have subscribed to Ruba. The fact that he doesn't shows you that he holds like Rabbi Meir, that he's Choshesh Lemiyut. So Ravina Amar Afilu Tamer Rabbanon. Ravina says, no, even according to Rabbanon, ki azle Rabbanon bata Ruba, beruba dlo tali b'maise. That's only done by a robe that doesn't involve human involvement. Avaruba, the Talib Maisa. If you have a rov that involves some sort of human involvement or action, lo, we don't say it there. As Rashi says, what's Ruba the Talib Maisa is Kigon Ibura Behema, the Talib Bahar Ba'a. So it's tali with harba'ah. Here means active mating of the animals. As Tosfot says, sometimes the animals don't by themselves mate. So the farmer, the ru'eh, the shepherd has to go and push them to mate, or force them to mate so that they can produce offspring. So therefore there's a human involvement in it.
We are speaking here about aruba deleta de kaman. Aruba deleta de kaman is trying to determine the statistical frequency of something transpiring. And what the Gemara now is saying is that something that self-perpetuates, something that happens on its own through nature, there's a better rove, or it's a better statistical sample for us to look at to determine what the status of this object is. If we have to involve some sort of action or human involvement here, then all of a sudden it starts to question whether our statistical sample is good anymore, because we're dealing with the world at large, we're dealing with the frequency of something transpiring. And if you involve another party or another action here, maybe we cannot be someich on that in terms of determining the statistical sample or frequency of this transpiring. Therefore, we'll say that rove can't govern here in this case where we need some involvement.
There are others that want to say what the difference here is, that when we talk about a rove, we want to rely on a rove. If we're dealing with something within the confines of nature, I think that was the word that you'd used before, teva, then we're going to say that we follow the rove when it comes to teva. That is because we are trying to determine the status of an object. The object is here. We want to know what the status of the object is. So therefore, we look in the world and we say, what does the rove happen in this case? What's the rove in the world? And then we can determine the status of this object. On the other hand, as soon as you involve the maisa, an action by someone else, then you're not asking what the status of the object is now. You're asking, what do most situations like this do? And in that case, maybe the rove can't answer that question. Rove might be able to answer a question of, I have the object, I want to know what the status of the object is. Rove can help us determine the status of the object. What rove can't do is tell us how people are going to act, and then what does that mean for the status of the object. If there's a maisa or some other event involved, then the rove is no longer sufficient to help us determine the outcome of the situation. And that'll be the difference between a rove to shetali b'masa and a rove shelo tali b'masa. One is trying to determine the status of the object, the other one is trying to determine the status of what transpired. And if a rove may not be able to tell us what transpired, it might be able to tell us, quote, what the status is currently. That's Gemara's conclusion, according to Ravina, that we could say this, even Rav Shmuel could even subscribe to the Shita Rabbonon, but of aruba the tali b'masa, lo, and therefore that'll be fine. So Tan Rabbanan. Now we're going to bring a braita. That's really a more expansive version of our Mishnah that gives us multiple opinions about what we do in this case. Eiz b'chnata v'adai l'kohen. If it's within its first year, it's v'adai l'kohen because it has yet to give birth. Mikan melahalon safek. Rachel b'chnayim. When it comes to you, 2 years. V'adai l'kohen. In the first 2 years, it's very v'adai l'kohen. Mikan ve'alan. If you buy it after that, safek. Parabat shalosh, vadai lekohen, mikan ulahalan, safek. From there onward, it's a safek. Chamora kipara. The chamor has the same din as the para. This is shitat Rabbi Shmuel from our Mishnah. Then we have Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yudomer, chamora bat arba shanim. He disagrees and says that a chamor has a different din than all of these. It's 1 year for the A's, 2 years for the U, 3 years for the cow, and 4 years for the donkey. Agkan divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Adil here, this is Rabbi Shmuel. Shenemru devarim lifnei Rabbi Yoshua. So now we have Rabbi Shua get involved. We don't have in our Mishnah, and he's another shita, which is Amar lehem su amru lo the Rabbi Shmuel. Go tell Rabbi Shmuel ta'ita. You made a mistake. Ilu bevlad bilvada beima nifteret hayaki dvarecha. If it all had to do with whether there was a birth or not a birth, you'd be right. But the problem is that siman avlad bebeima daka tinuf. We have other things that are indications of alamru, that if the siman of avlad and beima daka is that you see a discharge from the womb. Ubegasa, a large animal is a shilia, placenta after birth. Ubishah shpir vishalia is the fetal sac and the afterbirth placenta. Va'ani any American, I don't say this. Ella. My opinion is, eiz shitinfa bat shisha, you'll let it betoch shanta. If an eiz has this discharge, the discharge from the womb within 6 months, you'll let it betoch shanta, it will still give birth within that year. Rachel shitinfa bat shanta, if it had this discharge in the first year, you'll let it betoch shtaim, it will definitely give birth within the first 2 years. Amar Rabbi Kiva, now we have another opinion. So this is the fourth opinion here. Amar Rabbi Kiva, ani lo bati lidei midazu. I never got involved with this. Ela, koshi yodua shebichra. If we know for sure gave birth already, ain't gone the coin klum. The coin gets nothing. Koshi ain't bichra, lo bichra. Anything didn't get birth, we know for certain, is it a coin? Safek, yuchal b'umma l'balim. So Rabbi Kiva matches his statement in the Mishnah. The difference being here that the quote where Rabbi Kiva responded to Rabbi Shmuel here is assigned to Rabbi Yoshua. And then even within Rabbi Yeshua, we have two opinions. We have Rabbi Yeshua, based on what he says, Aval Amru, which is that he has a Mesorah. But then he says, I myself say this. So you have two Shitot in Rabbi Yeshua. You have Rabbi Akiva, and you have Rabbi Shmuel now in the Braita. But my Kamiflage, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yeshua. Let's start out the basics. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yeshua, what do they argue about? Lema, Betinu Poter, Kamiflage. They're arguing about whether, if you have a discharge from the womb, is that enough to say that there is no Bechor anymore? Rabbi Shmuel says it's irrelevant. That's having a discharge. There's no baby here. There's nothing to talk about. The next baby is going to be a Peter Rechem. On the other, Rabbi Shuva Savar Tinuf Poter. The Tinuf is sufficient indication of the fact that there's a Vlad here. And that's enough to say that there was a Peter Rechem already. The next baby will not. Rabbi says, Ida Chazina de Tinuf. If we, or the Tanif, that we see that it's discharging, everybody agrees, if we see a discharge coming out of the animal, there's nothing to talk about. That it means that there was a Vlad, there was something that was came out of this, there was something born here, and the next animal will not be a Peter Rechem. Vahacha, question is, do we worry about the fact that even though we didn't see this animal give birth, maybe it had some discharge from the womb that we didn't see, do we worry about that? Rabbi Shmuel Sefer, ain't choshishin letinuf, we don't worry about it. So it says, we do worry about the fact that it discharged something, and therefore there might have been a birth, or some quasi-birth that took place already. Vilo chayish, we do not worry about this. V'amarova, michavarta, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Meir, svirle. Rava said before, that Rabbi Shmuel holds like Rabbi Meir, the chayish lemiut. He's choshish for the miut. So even if you want to say that Rabbi Shmuel in general says most animals don't have its tinuf during the first year, that shouldn't be enough, because Rabbi Shmuel is worried about the miut. Even if a miut of animals have this type of discharge, that should be something that's problematic for Rabbi Shmuel. So my answer is no. Ki chayish l'chumra ulukula lo chayish. When does Rabbi Shmuel subscribe to Rabbi Meir's opinion by chayush l'miuta? That's only the chumra. When it's a chumra, where you're going to have to give it to the coin, you have to give the animal to the coin. Over here, where it's a kula, that you'll be able to keep it. Because if we're choshesh for the tinuf, that means that it's not a bechor, and the next one you'll be able to keep, lo chayish. There he doesn't subscribe to that principle. So Rabbi Shmuel, unlike Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir says, I'm choshesh lemiuta, both the chumra and the kula. Rabbi Shmuel says, I only hold like Rabbi Meir when it comes to chumra. The chumra, I'm going to be choshesh for the miut. But the kula, there I'm not going to be choshesh for the miut. Oh, there's two cases. One case where the case of the Mishnah is the Chumrah, because he's saying it has to go to the Kohen. In the first year, after the first year, I say, you don't get to keep it, even though rove animals have already given birth, you don't get to keep it, because I'm choshish for the meat of animals that didn't give birth. They didn't give birth yet, safek, and the animal is treated like a bechor, the bisafek. But in our case over here, where we're choshish lim tinuf, and the tinuf would say that if there was tinuf, you'd be potter from giving it to the kohen. There I'm not going to be choshish for it. Because that would be potter. You in the Mishnah, where it's mechayiv you to deal with it as a bechor b'safek, then I'm choshish the miut. Over here, where it's going to make it from a vadai bechor into a safek bechor, there I'm not going to say the kula. I'm not going to be choshish the miut. Via bayitayimah, some say ben the kula ben the chumra, that he subscribes to Meir's opinion, just like Rabbi Meir, which is that he's chayish in both cases. They argue about, if the animal has this discharge, can it give birth again in that year? If you have evidence of this tinuf, then we know for sure it will not give birth again during this year. The fact that it gave birth here is evidence the fact that there was no discharge. Had there been a discharge, we wouldn't have had a birth now. The fact that you have a birth is an indication there is no tinuf. Whereas Rabbi Yeshua said, "Mitanefet v'chozeret v'yoledet v'toch shnata." Even though it had tinuf, it could still have given birth, and therefore the birth is no evidence that there wasn't tinuf before it. So, rov beimo to have this tinuf, or the possibility of this tinuf taking place. Therefore, if the animal is giving birth now, we have to be choshesh for that tinuf that took place beforehand. If the tinuf took place, can it give birth in the year? According to Rabbi Yishmael, no. So therefore, if it gave birth, we know there was no tinuf beforehand. According to Rabbi Yeshua, yes. So therefore, we don't know anything. Just because it gave birth doesn't mean there wasn't tinuf before this point, and we have to be choshish for that. Now the Gemara says, what about the next statement of Rabbi Yoshua? Vani eni omer kein el eish tinfa bat shisha yoledet tok shnata v'chel shetiva bat shnata yoledet tok shnayim ma'ika ben gamrei l'svarei. What's the difference between the two statements of Rabbi Yoshua? Gamrei is what he learned from his Rebbeim. That's a quote in the name of the Rabbanon. Savrei is what he himself holds. What does Rabbi Yoshua himself hold when he says ani eni omer kein? What's the difference between these opinions? So tinfa b'sof shisha, it discharged at the end of 6 months. Veike beinayu disiri. And the difference between them is this din of ziri. Demar ziri ein tinuf pachot mishloshim yom. A tinuf cannot be less than 30 days. It takes 30 days to have this discharge come, meaning that once the discharge has come, the animal will not allow a male to mount it until after 30 days. So that means, how long is the pregnancy of a behemah daka? Is 5 months. So now, if they had tinuf at the 6 month point, this female will not accept a male, will not allow a male to mount it for 30 days. That means they will not become impregnated until the 7th month, the beginning of the 7th month. It has 5 months of pregnancy, 5 full months of pregnancy. That means it won't get birth till after the first year. So you know for sure that if you saw tinuf on the 6 month point, that there's no way it could give birth in the first year. So now, the gamre itle diziri. The gamre, according to the way he learned from his Rebbeim, they hold of the shita of ziri. And therefore, if you had tinuf, for sure, there is going to be no more birth this year. Whereas the svare, according to the svare, lately the ziri does not hold of ziri. The difference between them will be, even though we didn't see there was any tinuf over here, if the animal gives birth within that year, we know for certain it didn't have a tinuf. According to the shita that he quotes from the Chachamim, that's a clear indication that this animal had no tinuf beforehand. Because you don't have tinuf until the 6th month. You don't have these types of discharge until it's at least 6 months old. If it did have a discharge at that period of time, it could not have given birth this year. Because you'd have to wait 30 days after the tinuf before it allow a male to mount it. Plus 5 months of pregnancy, it wouldn't be have time to have a birth in this year. The fact that it gave birth in this year is indication there was no tinuf beforehand. That's the shita he quotes v'shem, the Chachamim, or Amru. Then his own shita is that even if it gives birth this year, that's not an indication that it didn't have tinuf before, because he doesn't hold of ziri. Ziri says there's 30-day wait before it allow a male to mount it. He says, no, even right after the tinuf you can have it, and therefore you could have a birth this year and still have tinuf before that. If there was tinuf before that, this is a suffix b'chor. We don't know if there was the possibility of this tinuf beforehand, means that you don't know if this for sure is the firstborn. While it's still in its first year of life, it gives birth. Is that an indication that this must be a firstborn? According to the Chachamim, that must be a firstborn because it couldn't have had tinuf before it. 6 months is the threshold when the animal will have this type of discharge. And if it gave birth within the year, there's not enough time between the discharge and the birth to have both of them happen. So that's a clear indication there was no tinuf beforehand. The fact that it gave birth now, it couldn't have had a tinuf before, otherwise it wouldn't have given birth now. Maybe Yeshua himself says, that's not true. I think that you could have tinuf and the baby be born because I don't agree with the ziri. The point of ziri being that you need 30 days before it'll get impregnated. That's not true. I think it can get impregnated faster.
It doesn't happen before 6 months.
That's the assumption here. You have to say that, otherwise it won't be meaningful. Now the Gemara says, Ibai Dema, Tukuliyama Yitlu the ziri. Everybody agrees in ziri. They argue about the fact whether you can have partial months. And that is, the assumption by a woman is when she gives birth, she takes full months, full term. I mean, the Gemara believes that a woman can give birth at the 7 month point or at the 9 month point. But when she gives there, she completes a full 7 cycles of 30 days or a full 9 cycles of 30 days. I mean, that there's only cycles of 30 days, there's no cycles of less. So the question is, do we apply that what we know by a woman, which we have a limud for, do we also apply that to a behemah? If you believe that it must carry a full term of 5 months times 30 days, and you hold of Ziri, there's no way that you could have a baby born within the same year that you had tinuf. Because if you had tinuf at the 6 month point, and then you have to wait a month before it'll be mounted, and then you need 5 months of pregnancy, there's just no way you could be born in this year. On the other hand, if you believe that it doesn't carry 5 months of full term, 30 days, then you could have it be born this year, because it might be it didn't complete the 5th month. It has partial months. It doesn't have to carry a full 5 months, full term of 30 days, it could be that they are partial, muktayim, they're cut off a little bit. So over here, that's what will be the difference between them. Amru Chachamim, that he quotes the name of Chachamim, if it's born this year, it's for sure no tinuf beforehand, because an Aes carries full 5 months times 30 days, and therefore there's not enough time for it to have given birth if it had tinuf in this year. Rabbi Yeshua himself says, listen, you could have a birth that's 4.5 months. You don't have to carry the full term of 5 months times 30 days. It could be 4.5 months. If that's the case, you could have a tinuf at the 6 month point. Wait the 30 days that Ziri says. And still the baby could be born this year because it didn't carry a full 5 months. It carried a 4.5 months. And therefore, I think that even if it's born this year, it's no indication that there wasn't tinuf beforehand. And that's what the Gemara says. The Gamrei, the way he learned from the Chachamim, Lo Amrin and Yoled et Muktaim, they carry a full 5 months of 30 days. The Svarei, what he says according to his own, is Amrin and Yoled et Muktaim, it can have a sub-30-day month. If they have sub-30-day months, you could have the possibility of it being born in the same year that it had a Tinuf. Because a Tinuf could happen at the six-month point, 30 days wait for Ze'iri, that means it only became impregnated at the beginning of the seventh month. Beginning of the 7 months, you need 5 months for a carry full term that would end the year. He says, no, because you don't have to have full 5 months of 30 days. It could be 4.5 months. It could be 4 of 30 days, and the last one was only 2 weeks. That's the fifth month. And that's enough, and that could be born in this year. So you could have them happen in the same year. That everybody agrees that they carry a full 5 months of 30 days. Do we say mixa yom kukulo? Now you can say mixa yom kukulo in two places. You can say it at the end of, at the point of tinuf or at the point of birth. If you had a tinuf on the point of the 6 month, you wait 30 days before it comes impregnated again, and then you have 5 months until it gives birth. That lands you on the first day of its second year of life. That will land on the first day of its second year of life. As soon as you say mixa yom kukulo, then you can pull it back a day. So for instance, if you say that the tinuf takes place on one day, and you already start counting the 30 days from the day that it had the tinuf, that'll take away one day. Or do we say that it's mounted on the 30th day, means it doesn't have to wait the full 30th day. On that 30th day itself, it would accept the male. So then again, it could become pregnant and give birth. It could cover the full 5 months by the time you get before the end of the year. Or, at the end of the year, do you say when it says 5 months and 30 days, the 30th day doesn't have to be a complete day. It could give birth on the 30th day itself, and that would be mixat hayom kekulo. So in that case, that would be the difference between them. Again, can you have a possibility of the animal giving birth in this year and still have tinuf beforehand? According to what he's quoting from his Rebbeim, the answer is no. So therefore, if it has a birth in this year, that's an automatic indication there was no tinuf and this is a firstborn for sure. According to Rabbi Yeshua himself, that's not true. They're not mutually exclusive. You could have a birth this year that still had a tinuf earlier. So you have no indication by the fact that it's born in this year that it is a bechor. You could still have the possibility of having tinuf before this. Right now the Gemara asks, Ma'ika ben Rabbi Akiva the Rabbi Yeshua? What is the difference between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yeshua? Again, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yeshua quoted the same Mesorah. In our Mishnah, it's Rabbi Akiva, and they write that it's Rabbi Yeshua quoting the Mesorah of the Rabbanan. But then Rabbi Akiva stated his own opinion, and we just saw that Rabbi Yeshua has his own opinion. So what's the difference between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yeshua? I'm Rabbi Chanina Misura, Chalav Poter Ika Benayu. A nursing animal is the difference between them. If an animal is producing milk, is that an automatic indication that it gave birth or not? Rabbi Akiva Savar Chalav Poter. That chalav is enough to indicate that it must have given birth beforehand, and therefore whatever is born afterwards is not a bechor. Halacha charov behemot. Let's go after the rov. Rov behemot ein chovot. Ela im ken yoldot. Majority of animals are only milk, give milk, or produce milk when they've given birth. If they didn't give birth, they wouldn't be producing milk. So we go after the rov, and it's given as milk here, where it's clear indication that it already gave birth beforehand. Rabbi Yeshua Savar, ha'ika miyuta, the chovot. Rabbi Yeshua says we have a miyut that does give milk, or produce milk, even though, afpisha in yodot, even though they hadn't given birth. Umi chayish Rabbi Yeshua, the miyut? Does Rabbi Yeshua really choshesh for the miyut over here? Vatnan, we have a mishnah. A mishnah in yivamot. A young couple heads out overseas. She has a mother-in-law. The mother-in-law that she left behind, and now she goes overseas and her husband dies. Her husband had no brothers when she left town, but maybe her mother-in-law gave birth since she's left town, and now she has a brother-in-law that she would have to marry for Yibum, or she has to worry about Yibum. Gemara says over there, Eina Chosheshet. You don't worry about this. Because when she left, the mother-in-law was no indication that she was pregnant, no indication that she didn't have another child. We don't worry about the fact maybe that there's a new brother in town. On the other hand, if her mother-in-law was pregnant when she left, then she has to worry about problem with Yibum, because maybe she now has another brother-in-law. I mean, she has her only brother-in-law now. And then she has the problem of Yibum and Chalitza that she has to deal with. Rabbi Shua Mer, Eina Choshesh. Even if her mother-in-law was pregnant when she left, she doesn't have to worry about it. Barmina, in my time, what's the reason? The Rabbi Shua. Kasavar, rov mubarot yoldot. Majority of women who carry give birth. They go to full term and give birth. They don't miscarry. Umiot mapilot. There's a miot that miscarry. On top of that, Anyone who gives birth, 50% chance to give birth to a male, 50% chance to a female. So if you're just dealing with male-female, it's a 50-50 shot. But, samuch mi'uta de mepilot, the mechza de nekevot. You put together the mi'ut, the minority that miscarry, together with the 50% that are females, now you have a zecharim mi'uta. Zecharim are the mi'ut. And over here, the only thing that matters for Yibum is whether it was a male child, if she has a brother-in-law now. So now the brother-in-law becomes a miut. Well, miuta lo cheshinan. And here you see Rabbi Yeshua saying explicitly, we don't worry about a miut. Yet, we're trying to sign now to the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua that it is a miut that we're going to worry about here, about whether the animals are producing milk or not. So Gemara says, no problem, ela ipuch, flip their positions. Rabbi Akiva is choshesh for the miut. Rabbi Yehuda says that if the behemah is cholevet, the gemema is producing milk, that's not an indication or an absolute indication that something has been born already. And we have to be choshesh for the next animal that's possibly a bechor. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, we're not choshesh the miut, as you saw from the Mishnah Yevamot. We're not choshesh the miut, and therefore Rabbi Yeshua says, if it's giving milk, the ala rov, that means it gave birth already, the next animal, you do not have to worry about kedushat bechor. About Tanya, Tanya here is the bidni chuta, we have a braita that says that. Chalav poter, divrei Rabbi Yeshua. Yeshua says that chalav is enough to tell us that you don't have to worry about it bechor afterwards. Rabbi Kiva omer, chalav einu poter. Again, the opposite of what he had said before, but now, consistent with when we flipped their positions, Rabbi Akiva says, if you see that it's producing milk, that's not evidence or absolute evidence that there was a birth beforehand, and the next animal will be Safek Kadosh Bibichora. So that's the conclusion of the Gemara. Now, the Rabbeinu Tam says over here, Omer Rabbeinu Tam, it's the top Tosaf, Psak Rabbeinu Tam, the Chalav Eino Poter. Chalav is not sufficient. Chalav by itself is not enough. Because later on in the Gemara, on Daf Chav Dalet, we're going to say, if a person buys behemah nikah, movi kachamim, de ptura mini bechora, de lo merachmo, elim kein yalda. You only have rachamim on another animal, allow it to nurse or take care of another animal if it actually gave birth. So he says that you need two factors. You need one is that it's producing milk. Number two is that the animal has to be acting motherly. Either whether it's nursing or taking care of an animal, you need both indications for it to have saved with there is vade at birth here. You need the indication of producing milk, plus that it's acting like a mother. From that, Rabbi Adenu Tam learns that we are choshesh for the miut, even though the loch is not like Rabbi Meir. The loch is not like Rabbi Meir, that we're choshesh the miut. Nevertheless, when there's a miut and a chazaka together, we are choshesh. That's what the Rabbi Notam says. Mitokach medaktik rabbatan, dahachi hilchata. This is the loch chashinon the miuta, heicha deika chazaka behada. If there's a chazaka along with the miut, then we're choshesh for the miut. Even though we don't paskin like Rabbi Meir. Because we're so mech the miut to the chazaka, and we go to hachmir, and we're choshesh for it. So that's the case over here, by the case of the milk. Milk production, alarov means that it gave birth already. Are we choshesh for the miut? The answer is, yes. Because we have a chazaka. The chazaka is that a female animal will not have given birth unless it was showing some sort of motherly features, motherly action. And since over here we don't have a mother reaction by this animal, there's a chazoka here that it didn't give birth, plus the miut of the milk, and therefore we will not, will be choshesh that the animal born afterwards is a bechor. On the other hand, if we see it acting motherly act, plus you have the production of the milk, there we will say that it was a vada yoledet. So that's what Rabbeinu Tam suggests over here, this idea that we are choshesh for the miut when you can put together a chazoka with this. Now, the Tosfot asks questions from other places in Shas, and he modifies this to say that even Rabbi Meir is not choshesh for the miut when we have a rov hamatsui. We're only choshesh for a miut hamatsui, a miut that's plausible, which is in the realm of possibility. If you have a miut she'enu matsui, it's so far-fetched, a miut that is so far-fetched, he says even Rabbi Meir would agree in those types of cases, the miut is irrelevant. So therefore, when you have a chazaka together with that type of miut, it's not going to matter. Because the miut's only relevant, only has halachic implications, when it's a miut, a matsui. It's a plausible miut. It's something that was in the realm of a possibility. But if it's something that's so far-fetched, something that's really so far out of the realm of possibility statistically, then we say that even though there's a miut, we're not choshesh for it. And that's even Rabbi Meir. So that's Tosfos' conclusion, at least, that we should be choshesh, l'chumra, for a miut, b'makom chazaka. If we have a chazaka that goes together with the miut, we will be choshesh. I mean, he does in the end say that maybe we do paskin like the Rabbanon, that we're not choshesh for the miut, maybe even the face of a chazaka, shatad chak, we could be somech on the Rabbanon. But in certain instances, the chachamim were machmir, that when there is a chazakah and there is a miut together, they're going to be machmir. There it narrows the scope of the Rabbeinu Tam, that it doesn't apply to all chazakah to miut together we're going to paskin, but just in certain instances where the chachamim were choshish that something problematic would come out of it, and we have a chazakah and a miut together, there they said would be choshish, even though the ikar halacha is like the Rabbanan, would be choshish v'shitat Rabbi Meir. So that's a much more watered down version of the Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says any miut together with a chazakah we're choshish for, whereas the Tosafot in the end, because of a number of questions, suggests maybe it's a much narrower version, which is we're choshish for the miut, but makom chazakah, where there's another reason that the Chachamim said that it has to be that we are going to be choshish over here. Right now, the Gemara continues. Tam Rabbanan, G'diyash yalda shalosh banot, a goat that gave birth to three daughters. V'chol benotah, and all of her daughters, yaldu shalosh shalosh. They gave birth to three each. Kulan nichnasot l'dir l'hitaser. They all go in there for ma'iser behema. Amar Rabbi Shimon, ani re'iti she'isra b'toch shnata. I saw that this happened within its first year of life. Let's count up the animals here. You have the mother who gives birth to the three daughters. So that's three. Three daughters give birth to three daughters each. Three, three, three. That's nine. Nine plus three is 12. Well, in order to do ma'aser, you only need 10. So the Gemara wants to know. Lama limitnei. Why do I have to write shalosh, shalosh? Why do I have to say that each one of her daughters gave birth to three? Tolid chaminai utzlat. If one of them gave birth to three, v'inach, tarte, tarte, the other two gave birth to two and two, that would have been sufficient, because you would have the three daughters, then one daughter gave birth to three, the next one to two, the next one to two, that's three plus two, that's seven, plus the three daughters, that's 10. Why does the Braita say that we have to have a case where, the Tosefta, why does the Tosefta say you have to have a case where each one gave birth to three, you're in excess of what you need? We only need two and two, and then one that had three, and that would be the 10 that you need. Now the reason that the Gemara chose the Tosefta chose the Gdi as the example is, Rashi says, because Naka Mishun, the Darka they laid Vladot Harbei Biubrechat. They have a tendency to have multiple births in a single pregnancy. So therefore, this is a plausible scenario that you could have this. So now the Gemara says, what's the answer? I did the ikachada de lo sagi below shalosh. Since one of the daughters had to give birth to three, tanukulu de lo shalosh shalosh. They just made it consistent. Since we need one of them to have three, we didn't want to say three, two, and two. They just said three, three, and three. That's fine. Volam elele mitne shalosh klau. Why do I need three at all? Lil du kulu tarte. Let's do it this way. Mother gives birth to three daughters, and each of the daughters gave birth to two. So daughters equal three. Each of their offspring, two, two, and two is six. Six plus three is nine. We're missing one. V'tahader ihi, the mother, v'tolid behadein, and she'll give birth along with her daughters. Let the mother have a second child within the air. Lema kasavar, must be, mitanefet, eno chozer v'yoled b'toch shnata. If you have a discharge from the womb, it does not give birth another time during that year. The fact that it gave birth already this year, it will never give birth again this year. Otherwise, within 1 year, you could have the mother join the daughters to produce the 10 that you need. Why did the Tosefta only give the example of the daughters giving birth to give you the sufficient number to reach 10? Have the daughters plus the mother give birth, the mother giving birth again, plus the daughters giving birth equal to 10. Must be that you cannot have a dual pregnancy, two pregnancies within a single year. Gemara says, Imtim Salomar, even if you want to say mitanefet choseret v'yoledet b'toch shnata, even if you say that mitanefet is different than yoledet. Yoledet is to really give birth. Mitanefet is a miscarriage. You have a discharge from the womb. So over here, even if you want to say that a goat can have tinuf and then still give birth within the same year, that doesn't mean if a goat really gave birth, then it'll give birth again. And that's what the Gemara says. Even if you want to say mitanefet choseret v'yoledet b'toch shnata, yoledet v'day eino choseret v'yoledet b'toch shnata. If it actually gave birth, it will not give birth during that year. So you have no evidence about our case over here. Our case is talking about you had a miscarriage, then a birth. Maybe a miscarriage and a birth can take place in the 1 year. But if it gave a full-term birth, it will not have a second full-term birth during the year. And therefore, that's why the Tosefta had to give the example where the daughters gave birth to the 10 and not the mother. Because the mother gave birth this year. She gave birth this year, she will not give her birth again. If she miscarried, maybe she can give birth again during this year. You can separate between the two cases and say that one is not an indication of the other. Just because one is true, that it doesn't give birth a second time during the year, does not mean if it miscarried, it will not carry a second time during that year. Right? We'll stop over there.